ant colonies are often held up as the epitome of a harmonious, cooperative society. Thousands of worker ants live together, happily accepting their lots as diggers, nannies, or garbage men. Everything they do is for the good of the group, but it does sound a bit too good to be true. Ant worker Z4195, voiced by Woody Allen in the animated film Ants, doesn't buy it.
What is it? I'm supposed to do everything for the colony. And what about my needs? What about me?
Researchers have found evidence that ants are not as selfless as people thought, NPR's Vicki Valentine reports.
Several floors above the exhibit galleries at the Smithsonian's Museum of Natural History in Washington are tens of thousands of ants. Entomologist Ted Schultz keeps them in his lab. The bustling ant nests are packed into see-through containers. Heading up each colony is a queen.
There she is. She's as big as a peanut. And she's about 3/4 of an inch long and very fat, dark brown, reddish brown, very slow moving.
Depending on the species, a colony may have more than one queen. Most of the worker ants in a given colony are daughters or nieces of the queens. But only the queens reproduce. They've evolved the ability to make millions of eggs.
The major role of the queen is to be an egg-laying machine. The workers are reproductive dead ends. They're not going to make it directly into the next generation, but they're interested in seeing that next generation gets to reproduce.
Worker ants pass on their genes indirectly by rearing their siblings and cousins. And this is where researchers think selfish behavior should creep in. That is, a worker ant should give preferential treatment to its new siblings because they share the most genes. Until now, though, scientists couldn't find any evidence of such favoritism.
It has been a very controversial issue.
Lotta Sundström at the University of Helsinki in Finland studies a common black wood ant. She's just reported in the journal Nature that her ants clearly act in self-interest.
Basically what we did was that we put together lab colonies with only two queens in them. We let the queens lay their eggs in the colony, and once they have started to lay eggs, we took a sample of these eggs, about half the eggs that were present in the colony.
The team looked at the egg's DNA to see how many belonged to each queen. Then the researchers waited until the remaining eggs matured. They then looked to see whether the queen's shares had changed. What Sundström found was that if a queen started out with more of her own daughter workers in the colony, then more of her eggs reached adulthood. In other words, the adult daughter workers were somehow able to tell their siblings apart from their cousins and then give their sisters better care. Kern Reeves studies the behavior of social insects like wasps and ants at Cornell University. He says the paper is the first strong evidence that ants favor their closest relatives.
What it shows is that the workers in insect societies, in these large insect societies, are calling the shots. They are basically making the decisions about who gets to reproduce, which queen is going to be able to produce the majority of the offspring, because they control the access to food, and they also protect the colony.
So it turns out, insect colonies aren't the utopias they're held up to be.
The truth is more subtle. There's a subtle mix of cooperation and conflict within insect societies. And the conflict can be expressed as this kind of nepotism.
The Smithsonian's Ted Schultz says it's even possible there's foul play going on. It could be the worker ants are getting rid of their unwanted cousins.
They're probably eating them. That would be like kind of the more efficient way of doing things too, recycling the protein.
Vicki Valentine, NPR News, Washington.